What's Poppin', part two, people? All right. We got a new lineup for part two. Randon and Joey join Mark, myself, and Jay as Matt has gone into bigger and not better things.
He's always doing something.
Yeah, he's on to something. I don't know what exactly. But here we are, ready to roll for part two. And already, an intriguing, very intriguing phone numbers come my way as someone has once again regained their sight.
Really?
Guy that hasn't seen for 20 years.
Stevie Wonder.
No. Kevin Coughlin, actually.
Oh. Cough Daddy.
With no treatment from doctors either.
His friends call him the cough button.
Kevin Coughlin said that
I'm really embarrassed by that.
A thick white fog.
I've had some bad jokes today.
He had over his eyes for years, randomly lifted, and since then he's been able to see.
Oh, really? I bet he's been smoking weed.
Well, you know he's demanding everyone right? Pop their top for him.
I really wanted to see it really bad.
Do you think
actual audio?
Do you think after he got his sight back, he went, oh, I should have pretended I'm blind still, and then for like a few days?
Oh, absolutely.
You know? I mean, yeah. He's been blind for 20 years.
He's been
another
with
week?
Women changing clothes all the time with exactly. No concern whatsoever.
But now he can see him, but he forgot to do that. And he's like, nobody tell anybody else.
He can wander into dressing rooms, clueless.
He's still pretending.
Is this the lady's dressing room? No, are you kidding?
He's still
oh, my God, I'm blind.
Pretends to be blind after he got his sight back after 20 years.
We'll have to ask him about that.
I think that's,
maybe he did it.
I think that's the plot to a really stupid sitcom starring Kevin James.
As Kevin Coughlin?
Yeah, there you go.
He's regained 70% of his vision. There's still no explanation. Well, whatever. Anyway.
We gotta call him.
What were you... I heard you saying something about at the top of the podcast you wanted to mention something. Were you talking about the Cruise...
Oh, there were a couple of videos I wanted to show you. There's a new Tom Cruise movie, which... Really? We just had a new Tom Cruise movie.
Boy, he is really... He's working his ass off these days.
He's got a lot of thetans to get rid of.
Yes, of course.
So he's got to pay for those thetans, pay for the auditing, so he's got to keep doing movies. But this one's called The Mummy.
Mm.
And, of course, he only does action films now, which is really weird for a guy that's, what, 5 foot two?
I know, and all of his athletic exploits are way exaggerated. He does not run 25 miles an hour.
No.
He does not beat the shit out of people on a regular basis.
Now, Jay, are you pulling up the trailer?
Yeah.
Now, see, I really laughed at Jack Reacher because I thought, Jack Off Reacher Around, I think that looked like a ridiculous movie.
Sure it was, but I can't wait to see it.
For some reason, I think this one looks kind of cool.
Well, he picks good movies, but generally.
But because it's Tom Cruise in the movie, the whole trailer has to be...
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, yeah, exactly. So it starts where they're on a military plane. So, of course, he's like a member of the military.
Oh, please.
Guy. How old is Cruise?
As if.
How old is Cruise?
60.
Yeah. When Brandon and I were just 70. Watching it, and the way the trailer opens is all the soldiers are like looking at each other, and I said to Brandon, I said, they're wondering why this old man's on their flight. Like, this guy's not in the military.
They're wondering what Tom Cruise is doing in this movie.
Yeah, and there's some chick. It's
supposed to be about the military.
He doesn't meet the height restriction.
No, he's 5 foot two.
Yeah, he's below the minimum height.
Yeah, go ahead and play. There's not much, like, audio.
This guy would never be in a pilot's chair at 5'2", I can tell you that much.
No. I assume he's, like, Indiana Jones and is the, you know, the professor of the group. What's going on?
There he is, sitting all by himself on the plane.
Yeah.
And something. What is that, Jay? Is that a chopper?
Like a tomb, like a mummy tomb.
Oh, a chopper with a mummy tomb.
Oh, hell's going to break loose.
It's loaded onto the cargo bay in Cruise's plane. He's looking at it, very stunned.
Very intense, right?
What's Mummy doing on my plane?
What's this mummy? Pan. This is November 4, 0999.
And of course,
he's making the plane go crazy.
Of course, Tom Cruise has to go in the cockpit to see what's going on.
Oh my God! Birds are flying through the windshield. Windshield? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Isn't it funny that Cruise had to go up and see what's going on?
Now there's zero gravity. Now people are flying out of the plane. The plane's upside down.
Not Cruise.
Cruise is flying all over the place. Is he gonna... There's no way he get... Okay, he must die in the credits roll, I assume, because there's no way he'd live.
Well, I don't think he does live. Spoiler alert.
Cruise screaming. That was the wimpiest.
Even that scream sounds ridiculous.
Like a total pussy, didn't he?
So now he's, I guess, in a body bag dead, right? Is that where you're at?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
This is where he's nude.
He just got up.
But he's nude.
Wait.
Welcome to a new world.
He survived the plane crash.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's some science fiction to it. But the rest of the trailer is basically him running and rolling at fast speed.
He's real. Please meet Princess Aminet. She will claim what she has been denied.
But she's been what?
Been denied.
She's
back, yeah. Sweet.
Denied what? His wiener?
Brendan Fraser is going to be pissed.
Yeah, he's the mummy. Okay, I'm intense. A little confused about this movie.
Is that not bad casting by, you know, whoever cast it to put Cruise in there?
Well, first of all, they seem to be making him look young in this early part of the flick, like he's one of the guys in the in the troop or whatever, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
He's 60. 60-year-olds don't just join the military.
And they don't sound like this.
It sounds
no guy like sounds like that.
So stupid. The other video that seems to be taking over the internet, and I was dying to know if you saw it. Did you see the guy versus the kangaroo?
No, I did not see that.
A
the
lot
only worthwhile video I've seen is Tiger Woods screaming, "Oh shit," after he hits an errant tee shot.
A lot of people thought that this video was fake, but it appears to be real. Like, they've tracked this guy down, and he ends up being a zookeeper. But this guy's out on an expedition, and his dog gets into some trouble, so he's trying to track down where his dogs are. Do you remember what kind of expedition they were in?
I think they were on a pig hunt. Okay. You know, for a friend or something like that, honoring his wishes.
In Australia, and the car pulls up, and his dog is basically being restrained by the kangaroo, which I find to be the funniest part of this video, that this kangaroo has a dog in a headlock.
Yeah.
But then I just want your reaction as you watch the rest of it. I don't, you know, kangaroos are pretty tough animals, right?
Yeah, they're
allegedly.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah, they kick, you know.
They've got the pouch. They jump all over the place. That's about all I know about them.
No, but you know they kick. You know people. You know
how tough they are.
You know, in old-timey days, they used to have boxing matches versus kangaroos, right?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Happened?
Oh,
yeah. Really?
They balance on their tail.
Everyone know that but me.
They balance on their tail and they kick like madmen.
No, I got to take second grade over. I'm not kidding about that. I need to take over like second through fifth grade over. I didn't pay attention in the early grades, and I'm really missed. There's a big hole in my education.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
These two square up. Man versus animal. They square up.
I'm serious. I want to take second grade. I really do.
Whoa, go. Right.
Look at that, babe.
But all is not as it seems. The big buck actually has hold of the dog, not the other way around. As Greg runs in, we realize this could get dangerous.
That's a kangaroo?
Yeah.
God, oh my God, how bizarre.
Look at that.
Let it go.
Oh, what the fuck? Is that not? Are you sure it's not a guy in a kangaroo costume?
I could watch that over and over and
that
over.
That was bizarre.
When they face off, and this guy just clocks this kangaroo right in the jaw with a roundhouse right.
So that's his dog, I take it.
Yeah, he's saving his dog.
Dog is scared to death. See that dog run away?
Yeah. He's got being headlocked by a kangaroo with tiny arms.
Aw, poor dog.
Yeah.
Was the kangaroo going to like wail on this guy if he didn't throw the first punch?
Up. Kangaroos know how to box.
Yeah.
What the fuck
look
are you?
I
can't
looks,
wait
too.
To take second grade over. I'm not kidding.
If you see the slow motion version that they put in there, the kangaroo, and when he gets hit, Drew does this. He goes, yeah, and like puts his tiny little arms up like, oh my God, I just got cracked in the face.
How can the kangaroo punch with those little arms? That can't
hurt.
Can't
they kick?
Oh, they kick. Oh, that would suck.
Doubles his efforts to escape. Finally, the Roo switches his attention to Tonks and sizes up the human to be his next victim. Tonks gives the kangaroo his space, but the cranky buck comes forward, ready to attack. To save himself, he launches a right hand to the kangaroo's snout.
How can you punch that little bitty head?
As he throws his claws out to grapple and gouge.
My God, is that bizarre?
Wait.
That's a guy in a kangaroo outfit. I'm not kidding. It is.
Does not throw its paws out to grapple and engage or grab or whatever he said. He threw his paws up because he just got fucking clocked in the face. Was like, ooh.
It's a guy in a kangaroo outfit. I'm not kidding.
Is that not the best video ever?
It's crazy.
Of 2016.
I'm so pumped to take second grade over. I'm serious. I do not know nearly enough about these animals.
I kept waiting for somebody out there to, like, so that poor kangaroo, that mean human punched that kangaroo. That kangaroo is being an asshole.
Well, he was going to bat for his dog.
Have you ever seen an animal be a bigger asshole than that kangaroo? He had a dog in a headlock.
And then he was squared up. He was ready to fight that guy.
Yeah. It's just a great punch, like squaring a kangaroo's jaw.
A guy with a backwards hat fighting a kangaroo.
I know. Apparently, he's like a zookeeper that takes care of elephants. Isn't that what it was?
Crikey.
I don't know. Give that guy a TV show. Just let him box various animals.
I'm just jealous of him because I know that guy paid attention in second grade when I didn't. Well, knew what to do.
Why? Are you mocking that kangaroo knowledge is for second graders?
No, I just didn't. You know, when the animal kingdom, which was like, seriously, that was like first or second grade when you go into the animal kingdom.
Well,
I mean, you spend a lot of time on all those things that I don't know because I wasn't paying attention.
You're never too old to learn about animals.
I know, but I just think if I had some real remedial education, the real basics, I'd be so much better off.
If you type kangaroo into Google, these are the first things that come up. Fight, punch, claws, and then boxing. Is kangaroo boxing?
Really?
You know, if you go to the Detroit Zoo here, you can walk through the kangaroo exhibit. Did you know that? Have you ever seen
the zoo here? I've been in the zoo.
It's like wide open. There's no cages or anything. The kangaroos are just hanging out.
Uh-huh.
And you can walk right through. Now I always skipped it because they're boring, but now I know I can just clock one in the face if they're being an asshole. What are you showing them?
He says it's a kangaroo fighting a dude.
See?
That is so weird.
Big boxing glove.
Isn't it just bizarre, though? I would freak out at the kangaroo facing up against me.
I'd be worried about the kicks, not the punches.
Is this the one in the street?
No, this is fight? Like some weird, I think, I have no idea what this one is.
The street fight's between two kangaroos.
To get to the top,
Crikey.
He must become a fighter.
Two kangaroos boxing.
Battles are so brutal that males need years of training to prepare. The effort is worth it because
any great punches being thrown.
Wins privileged access to the female.
They've got such little paws. How can their punches hurt?
That's why they kick. They kick. So it's not really boxing.
More like kickboxing.
Search kangaroo goes berserk because it's one on a TV talk show and he just starts taking it out on his chin.
Oh, cool.
And the best part is he's wearing boxing gloves.
The kangaroo?
Yeah. As if he's like, tape me up. Take my little arms up. Put some boxing gloves on. I'm going at it. He's wailing on this dude, too.
It's shocking live television.
Whoa.
This is killer Willard. I guess you understand.
Oh, he's going after a chick.
Kangaroo.
Yeah. Oh, kicking, you pussy. Stop kicking.
It's an all-out attack from a powerful animal that can kill with one kick.
Yeah, see?
Oh, my God, what a pain in the ass.
Killer Willard, the boxing kangaroo, was the star of a traveling comedy show.
He's an
weighing
asshole.
Close to 150 pounds, the male red kangaroo was an impressive 6 feet
tall. He's probably bummed he's got to travel and fight people.
Yeah, he's a gladiator, for crying out loud.
Willard loved it so much, it turned into a comedy routine.
Should have fought for his freedom.
Some say the training of wild animals is wrong, but what looks like boxing actually comes naturally to kangaroos.
See, I didn't know kangaroos are such dicks. I thought they were just fun little jumpy animals.
Little
That's what I thought. The cute little pouch, you know.
No.
They can't be boxing people. They got something in that pouch.
Be putting to protect. Dogs in headlocks.
Yeah, so you get hit by one.
They show on the slow-mo. On that slow-mo where that guy punches it, they show. Not only does he have the dog in the headlock, but before he squares up against a human, he tries to get one last cheap shot kick in on the dog.
Asshole.
I know. He's the biggest asshole of the animal kingdom.
Today is the, let's see, today's the 5th. So tomorrow, really, well, people are listening to this on the 6th, I've decided. We've kind of changed.
Whatever day you have.
Today in Rockworks, you know. Yeah, so whatever day I have, I justify reading. I'm really reading tomorrow's day in Rock. But you all are listening to this on Tuesday morning, primarily. Except for the real late night people who get this when it's posted late. Today's December the 6th. And there's a lot of Rolling Stone stuff in there, which is ironic because I picked up this book I was telling you about.
It's huge.
The Rolling Stones, all the songs, the story behind every track. It's like an encyclopedia. It's unfucking believable if you're a Stones fan.
It is an encyclopedia. It's huge.
Yeah, it is. I'll read a couple songs. Anybody have a song you want to hear about?
Honky Tonk Woman.
Okay.
I don't know why that was the first one that popped in my head. Great song.
I wish I knew how to search for songs. Wait,
just isn't it in alphabetical order?
No, it's by it goes by year.
Oh, which well, then just blows. Open it up.
Okay, Wild Horses.
Do a song from 19.
Can you hear me knocking?
Yeah, great song. Blow. That's all I think.
That's right. The beginning of Blow, which is such a great intro, isn't it? In this song, the lyrics count for relatively little. You've got satin shoes. You got plastic boots. You got cocaine eyes. You got speed freak jive. The sole purpose is to match the rhythm. The important thing is the music. Which testifies superbly to the urgency of rock and roll. Can't You Hear Me Knocking came out flying. I just found the tuning and the riff and started to swing it, and Charlie picked it up. Charlie picked up on it like that, and we're thinking, hey, this is some groove. So it was smiles all around, recalls Keith Richards. The tuning referred to by the Stones guitarist is based on five strings. Five strings cleared out the clutter. It gave me the licks and laid on textures. Can't You Hear Me Knocking is another title recorded at Star Groves and Rolling Stones Mobile Studio. Kicks off with a riff in open G fired up by Keith on his Gibson Les Paul. The
great
stinging,
sound.
Oh, awesome, fabulous! The stinging guitar has a slight delay on it, or slight speaking a Revox echo obtained using a tape recorder of that name, a very common method in those days. One of which Jimmy Miller was fond. The riffmaster is immediately joined by the excellent Charlie Watts and the superb bass of Bill Wyman. The two of them imparting an extremely funky rock groove to the track. Then comes the first verse, sung by a red hot Mick Jagger, supported by Mick Taylor's clear toned rhythm guitar in standard tuning. I used the 345, the Brown Gibson, Taylor would explain in 79. In the refrains, Billy Preston can be heard on organ for the first time. I didn't know Billy Preston was on that track. And probably piano, too, around 206. Can't You Hear Me Knocking is a very good rock track the Stones originally envisioned lasting some 2 to 3 minutes. At 243, however, there is a break, after which the number is relaunched by Rocky DeJohn's Congas. What seems to be a gyro, most likely played by Jimmy Miller and Bill on bass. After two bars,
this is getting nerdy and deep.
I know, it is pretty heavy. Keith sets off on a new rhythmic pattern on the guitar, and the track drifts into a jam. You know that long jam?
Yeah,
in the song,
yeah.
Which is awesome. Bobby Keith felt it was okay for him to join in, so I grabbed my horn and started playing. I came in something like 8 bars after the section started, and I had no idea what I was going to play. I just stuck my horn in my face and started to blow. It was a first take, a one-time thing. Plays an excellent solo with a jazz rock feel, contributing what was more or less a new color on a Stones record. God, that's a lot of explanation, man.
Pick a song from 1976.
1976?
I don't know. Are there any?
Why'd he pick 76?
The Year I Was Born.
Oh. Well,
Brandon just so rolled his eyes at me. Well, it's hard for him to find. It's organized by year, Brandon.
76. That would be...
have anything?
Yeah. There's... oh, God. Black and Blue with, well, Fool to Cry was the hit off that one. Daddy or Fool to Cry? Got it, Jay?
Yep.
I thought The Hand of Fate was the best song on that. Memory Motel, they play that
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
Memory Motel?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little Memory Motel. One. It was at Andy Warhol's house in Montauk, New York, the Stones' rehearsal venue prior to the 75 tour that Mick Jagger started to write Memory Motel. Taylor refers to a motel in this village located at the eastern tip of Long Island. He completed the song during the Tour of the Americas 75. Some of the towns on the tour are mentioned in it: Baton Rouge, San Antonio, Boston. The song's heroine, with whom the narrator passes a night at the Memory Motel, is called Hannah. We're told she has hazel eyes and slightly curved teeth. To whom is Mick Jagger referring here? Some suggested the singer Carly Simon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Bad Carly Simon?
Bad Carly Simon. She had a brief fling with the Stones singer and said to have targeted him in You're So Vain.
Wait.
Others lean more toward Annie Leibovitz because her first name sounds similar, of course, but most importantly because of her proximity to the Stones, and Mick Jagger in particular, during the Stones' tour of the Americas in 75, which he covered. First part, Jagger has the following to say, but actually I don't think there's any particular. It's more about the tour, really, rather than about a girl. song's about a single night of passion, the memories that follow, and then they get into all the... It's enough of that.
It can get a little Dreamweaver-y.
A little deep there.
Yeah. Well, they got to fill 3,000 pages.
Yeah, I think my birth year would have Mick Jagger singing Dancing in the Street with David
Cool.
Bowie,
so. Oof. Do they tell stories about that, about the video, or is it just about the song and the writing of the
song? Let's see. What year was that? 83?
84, 85.
Were they dating then, those two?
Probably.
No, I think they'd broken up. I think that was just a little fling.
It was a booty call?
I love the jumping out of the rooms into the hallway.
Yeah, I know. The peekaboo.
Yeah, that is so cute.
Who called who for that booty call?
That's a good question. Because it's not really... That's not really a Stone song.
No.
Thank God.
The worst video.
The video, it's just a dancing. Ugh.
It really is a time capsule.
It just seems like one of them called the other and said, "Do you want to do something really gay?" Yeah, I'm up for it.
The mullet.
Yeah, that's a major mullet.
I like that dance with your hands in your pocket, Bowie.
That's the only reason he has that jacket on.
Well, it's kind of like a onesie, right? It's pants and shirt all together.
Yeah. I mean, they're just dancing alone, dancing down a boardwalk. There's some throaty Bowie for you.
Oh, he's so good, though, man.
I mean, two guys dancing together down a boardwalk with no one else around, and they're like an inch from each other's face singing to each other.
Didn't Family Guy parody this?
Yes, they did. Family Guy did.
I mean, this video got so much airplay on MTV.
You know, at the time, I don't think a lot of people talked about the fact that these two guys are dancing together for the whole
time. No, it was time capsule, man.
This is like Footloose if Kevin Bacon had someone else dancing with him in that crazy scene where he dances all by himself. Oh, here we go. Just coming out of the room into the hallway.
Yeah.
Taking turns.
That's maybe the gayest part right there.
And I love the way David snuck out of the room and just popped into the picture next to Mick.
You know, they're used to that with each other. Except for that time, is it Angie? Who caught him?
Yeah, Angie Bowie.
Yeah.
They were taking a nap.
Yeah, that's right.
Together.
Nude.
David and Mick take naps together.
And the, wasn't part of the house, like, lowered? Wasn't there like a talking pit or whatever? Was that
something like that? Yeah, I remember what you're talking about.
They were always in that pit together.
Oh. They're literally dancing in the street right now. There's cars coming too. What a video ended with the car hitting, striking both of them, and then the credits just rolled.
They had no choreography for this entire music video. It was just show up and let's just wing it.
Nobody storyboarded this.
And David lifted.
Or if they did, it just looked like this. Two little guys dancing in the street.
Bowie lifted up that long jacket he had on so he could shake his ass for the camera.
There's my storyboard for the video down at the bottom. Just a street and two guys dancing.
Dance. He shook his ass at the very moment. Mick shook his ass. They shook their asses together in concert.
It's really funny to think of these super, like, really genius rock stars making a horrible piece of art like that.
I know, it's really bad. It happens sometimes when you get two studs together.
What's the one the Beatles did that really bothers you? Is there anything?
They didn't do anything bad with anyone else because they rarely played with anyone else. It was just Billy Preston on Let It Be, who was great, I thought.
Well, McCartney and I don't like Say with Jackson. I think that's a weird video.
Well, they have another song that's even worse. And Ebony and Ivory with Stevie Wonder's a disaster.
Yeah.
He's got some other stinkers with other people.
Anything John did with Yoko.
Oh, God. I know. So bad.
What a weird concept.
But John played with David Peel and the East Side Gang or whatever. That pot guy. Yeah, the guy that had pot songs.
Yeah. I like marijuana. Isn't that him?
Yeah. But that was considered a real cool collaboration, even though nothing really wonderful that you'd want to hear came of it. But he worked with Bowie on Fame. Worked with Elton John on Whatever Gets You Through the Night and Lucy in the Sky.
I just wondered if there was one thing that stood out. You're like, oh, God.
I think Ebony and Ivory is the worst thing that ever happened in the history
of
music.
Such an important message.
It's really bad.
But it led
and
to
dancing on the black keys and the white keys in the video. Oh, boy.
But it led to one of the best SNL bits of that time period. Biscopo and Eddie Murphy.
Was not...
you didn't like that?
Was not great art. But, yeah, SNL had fun with it.
Sure. Ah, you sound fun.
Oh, Love is Strong. Great song.
Yeah.
Actually, it's one of my favorite Stone songs. It's a late song.
It's a newer
too.
One, yeah. It's probably, what, 20 years old?
Yeah, 1994.
94, wow. You make me weak. Love is strong. And you're so sweet. And someday, babe, we got to meet.
All right, today in rock. 1965, and the Stones dominate for December the 6th. Stones record 19's Nervous Breakdown and Mother's Little Helper. 68, Stones release Beggar's Banquet with Sympathy for the Devil and Street Fighting Man and a few other great tracks. A year later, 1969, a lot of stuff happened on that day. Led Zeppelin debuted on the U.S. charts with Whole Lot of Love, which is funny to think of that as a single. Doesn't sound like a single, does it? Reached number 4. Which was, that might be Led Zeppelin's biggest hit.
Really?
No. I don't think they had a number one single. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
You know what? I think we've had this conversation, and yes, I think you're right.
Dire Maker was a hit. That
It's one of my.
They didn't have many singles,
favorite
though. They only had like 6 singles, I think, in their entire history. On the same day that, Led Zeppelin was releasing Whole Lot of Love. The number one single was Steam's Na 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 Na.
Oh,
na
God.
Na Na Na. Hey, hey, goodbye. A one hit wonder.
Do they get paid every time it's sung at a
game? At a White Sox game?
Or any game? Everybody sings it.
I don't know how that works. And didn't you say the arenas pay to ask
that? Yeah,
ASCAP
I just meant when the group sings it.
69 also.
Ugh.
What a busy day. The 47th anniversary today is of Altamont.
Oh, really?
Disastrous Stone show with Jefferson Airplane, Santana, and CSNY.
That's when the Hell's Angels were the security.
And killed Meredith Hunter.
Yep.
Stabbed him for seemingly no reason. And that show, you know, had to be stopped multiple times because it was just fighting, just ridiculous fighting in the audience. And the crowd was shoving, pushing the stage.
It's a really good documentary on that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did HBO do it? I don't remember who did it.
Well, the Stones did one themselves.
Yeah.
You know, where they watched all that footage and sort of commented on it. I didn't think that was the great film. It's a very popular film. I didn't like it that much. 1972, while reading the morning paper in Nice, France, Keith Richards is surprised to learn that arrest warrants have been issued for him and Anita Pallenberg.
Oops.
So he has to go back to the UK and deal with that.
It's all Stones today.
I know. I told you. It's crazy.
Weird.
1978, Sid Vicious smashes a glass in the face of Todd Smith, Patti Smith's brother, at a New York City club. Sid just did crazy shit like that, you know. 1986, Europe was number one in the UK charts with The Final Countdown. Mark, where's the best version you've ever heard of
cover,
that?
The cover that group did?
The best.
I was there that day. It's one of those shows that everybody pretends they were at. Because it was such a great live performance.
Yeah, people lie about it.
Yeah. I mean, there were, probably 300,000 people at that show. It was so awesome.
Can you find it?
I think Jay's pulling up, right?
Oh, cool. Roy Orbison died.
That's a good cut. Brandon's a good impersonation of the lead singer, though. I haven't seen that video in ages.
It's a classic.
I'm going to lose my shit when I see it, though.
Roy Orbison died of a heart attack on this day in 1988 at the age of 52, right in the middle of the Wilbury success, too. Beatles Live at the BBC released on this day in 1994, and Elvis Costello married Diana Krall on this day in 2003. And we've got it all cleared out so we can fully appreciate the final countdown. I just love the organ, whatever that is. It's a synth, I guess.
Nobody there.
It's a five-piece, too. I didn't realize that. There's no one at this show.
We're leaving together. We're leaving together.
Where are all the people?
I think no one wants to be too close because they'll hear it.
4.7 million views.
Well, in the very beginning, you'd see like a 3-year-old.
4.7 million views.
Should be way more. Hey, Jay, will you speed forward to see if anybody ever pops in frame?
Search under worst cover ever, the final countdown. Yeah, four lights. Oh, somebody walked by. There is someone at the show.
Yeah, me.
He was facing the other way.
Oh, whoa.
Well, I'm kind of intrigued by the... speaking of bad covers, the worst Eye of the Tiger cover in history, and also the worst Pink Floyd cover ever.
Let's
worst
hear
band
it.
Ever butchers Pink Floyd, and worst Eye of the Tiger cover.
Listen to that solo. Wait.
I don't think I've ever gotten this far.
How is it that these guys are all at the same level of their development? Exactly.
The worst part is they're obviously performing at some event, right? It's a real stage with lights. So who hired them?
Their mom.
Mom, I want to play at the show.
Mom, we don't have any gigs.
Only if you let your brothers play with you.
Huh? Countdown.
Doesn't have much stage presence.
That's awesome.
Countdown, countdown, final countdown.
I don't think the Eye of the Tiger one is going to be as bad as this.
It's hard to beat that.
Or the worst Pink Floyd. They'll still have some musical talent.
Oh, really? You want to bet?
I want to hear them. I'm dying. I mean, the fact that they have the same description, they got to be bad.
So far, so good.
Who would cover Eye of the Tiger anyway? Isn't that a horrible song to play? Somebody's going, Eye of the Tiger's the coolest song. I can't wait till we can play that.
You sticking by it? Yeah. Survive.
So many times it happens too fast. You change your passion for glory. Don't lose grip on the dreams of the past. You must fight just to
it's gonna be great. Yeah!
Oh, man, I stand corrected.
Is this like spoken word, Eye of the Tiger?
This is like a high school talent show.
I love the guy just doing the strums for the guitar.
Hey, Jay, will you pull up the Iron Man cover? Worst Iron Man cover?
Oh, the eye!
Oh, tiger.
You can hear the people talking about how bad it is.
Oh, I thought he was done.
The guitar player's got potential.
Crowd's going crazy.
Okay, the guitar player has a beard. The guitar player's like probably 22, 23
really?
Years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not
and he's in this
kids.
Fucking band.
Well, he's living the dream.
Well, the other blood players look younger.
This is Iron Man.
This is a school talent show, it looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the last one was high school. This one looks middle school.
So far, so good.
These kids are like 9 or 10 years old. This could be worse.
Yeah!
Not sure about the drummer. What is the boombox? Is that recording this for posterity?
Hopefully.
It's starting to collide a little bit. Where's the singer? You come bopping out? Maybe it's just an instrumental? Oh, a fill! Nice fill!
That's sweet.
The guy on the right playing guitar has got shorts, a t-shirt, gym shoes, and black socks on with his gym shoes.
Yeah,
but not to be cool, because I don't think he had any clean white ones.
He rocks hard.
I don't think the drummer's keeping very good time. Call me crazy.
Sweet.
Is that kit mic'd properly? I mean, does it just sound like drumsticks clanging on metal?
Oh, God.
Doesn't matter. These kids are still getting chicks.
The crowd loves them. Wait, there's another worst cover ever of the Final Countdown?
What?
It can't be worse than what we saw, can it?
Well, they're just mocking the art form now. The art form of bad covers.
That's not the same one, is it, Joe?
They're good!
The Final Countdown of the group Europe.
Of the group Europe, so you can hear how much they sound like Europe. The lead singer, there's two chicks in the band. The lead singer is like a chick that's about 6'3".
Hot.
But I think she's like maybe a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
No drums in this one. No drums.
Oh, boy.
He's playing the synth notes or the organ notes on a guitar.
Yeah.
Okay, where in the song are we now? Anybody? Want to venture a guess?
People are clapping.
Hopefully the end.
Over.
The end?
Song's over.
Oh, come on. Read the room and just get off the stage.
We leave on together.
Oh, boy.
Still it's fine. And maybe we'll
2.1 million hits. What is that chick playing on the guitar right now?
Will things ever be the same again? It's the final countdown.
Honestly, what is What is it about that song that makes it perfect for bad covers?
Good question. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you want to hear a cool cover of a song that I was listening to the other day?
I think so.
Jay, will you pop me up?
Oh, no, it's actually Christmas.
We can actually play it, too.
Bastard.
Stroke of my, lick of my, suck of my cock. It's the first time.
Oh, congratulations.
Here's what you do.
Unzip
me and scoot me and show me you care. Don't go ripping out my pubic hair. Reach for my, grab for my, pull out my
cock. The best part
cock.
Is Drew has no control of the board, Brandon.
The most fucking song
just
ever.
Get on your knees.
Listen to the words.
Licking and slurping. My dick will get firm. Soon you'll be tasting sperm.
Oh, great.
Do
nice rhyme.
Now and combine now. Drag your tongue
across my meat.
If you give me head, there's no need to spread. By now you should know a blowjob can't be beat.
That doesn't even make sense.
Now,
I think I have too many syllables.
Into your throat. The secret is not to choke.
Take my here's the best part, right?
Stuff the whole thing in your face. That's how you suck on my cock.
It is so terrible. I mean, awesome. I'm in tears.
And you wonder why I cut that song off.
You know how many
before I got to the first hook.
You know how
every
many
time
people, Drew, have emailed me
dying to hear the rest of that
Facebook
abortion.
And because they're like, hey, you can finally play the whole thing now. Oh my God.
Do you want to hear the worst? Wait. We can see the worst video ever, allegedly.
The worst video ever.
The worst video ever. I don't know what that means. Do you, have you seen it, Jay?
Yeah.
It's got 3.9 million views. It's got to be bad.
It's bad.
What song is it?
What is this?
You know what song it is?
I Want to Love You Tender.
I Want to Love You Tender? I'm not familiar with the track. Seems to have a space age theme. It's a bunch of adults doing aerobics on like the Starship Enterprise, but the windows appear to be open and you can see the galaxy out. Pretty weird. Yeah, it's more of a visual thing though, unfortunately. Not that the music's great. Now, there's a heartthrob for you.
Kind of digging it.
This guy thinks he's hot.
All right, my turn.
Sure, you know, pretender?
My turn.
Oh, I know it's coming. More Christmas music, right?
Rated Xmas.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this one, I mean, this one's all right so far, right?
I'm nice. Sure it's going to be beautiful.
Oh, it's pretty good.
You're sure going to hear more stellar
hey,
rhymes.
Loves this. Walking in a winter wonderland.
God.
My neighbor's home, and I'm listening. My dick is hard, its head is glistening.
It's the voice of an
a
angel.
Beautiful sight, I squeeze it real tight. I love to choke my chicken with my hand.
Hey, you rhyme glistening. You gotta give him credit for that.
My cock is smoking. I grab my rod and start a stroking.
His voice inflection of the words.
When shooting my
love. Oh, gross.
I love to choke my chicken with my hand.
Oh, lovely.
People like to say that I'm a loner.
Just a little more. Just a little more.
Let's see, is he gonna rhyme with boner?
I am very sick. Cause all I do is sit and stroke my boner.
Hey, what do you know? I'm a psychic.
But I wouldn't if my tongue could reach my dick.
Oh, God.
With each yank, I perspire.
Just what I think about this guy sucking his own dick.
Remember he got sued for all these?
Yes.
I love to choke my chicken with my honey.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the nice instrumental.
Yeah, lovely.
You can open a gift to this. Exchange stockings with your loved one.
And get ready for a wonderful big finish.
I've never got through this much of it.
My mother ripped up all my dirty pictures. Dad paid prostitutes for me to date. My sister said she'd lick mine if I licked
her. Oh, God.
What? Hey, get off my back and let me masturbate.
Oh.
I use both hands.
All right, I'm done with him. I should have stopped when I was ahead.
Were there two vocalists in that song? The guy that came in yelling sounded like a different vocalist. I was impressed by their dual vocals.
Charlotte's really into Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, Frosty the Pervert?
So I've always, it's just every time it plays, it's this one.
Frosty the Pervert.
And it's this sweet lady's voice.
Frosty the Pervert, in a trench coat he did go to the schoolyard to expose his dick and balls made out of snow.
What?
Frosty the Pervert, all the kids he liked to watch. His dick did grow when he packed snow on his cold and icy crotch.
See, they're all downhill
there
from the first
some
one.
Magic when he stroked his frozen meat.
You dick!
Because Frosty started moaning loud and it began to sleet.
Oh, God, all right. Ooh. Even I'm cutting it off.
Oh, boy. Yeah, boy.
Nothing beats the original.
Lovely. Lovely.
Come on.
We got to call this guy that's regained his sight.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Just a small chance we'll get this guy. But first, I want to mention that hopefully this is posted. Yeah, this will be posted before midnight, so it's worth mentioning. You can still order merchandise till midnight. Till midnight Monday. That doesn't give you much time, I know. In fact, if you're on part two, it's probably after midnight. And the donations are wide open. Jay did some math for me yesterday. We're just below 6%. We're trying to get to 10% somehow. We've had, how many donors have we had? Like 1,300, 1,200?
Let me see.
We've got about 25 to 30,000. We have about 30,000 people listening, maybe more.
1,180.
And 1,180 out of 30,000 have donated. That's wow. That's like one out of 30.
It's very cool.
So I know it's great that 1,180 have, but we could have more. You people were thinking, I'll just let somebody else take care of that. We're just a little short, not that much. Come on. Now, some have said,
come on, while we're young.
We're getting closer to that $7 million goal.
Yes.
Every bit counts.
Some of you guys are waiting for a windfall or a paycheck or something. I understand. That's fine. Don't worry about it. But I just don't want people to think we're done, and I don't want to keep pushing this thing. I'm getting tired of talking about it, especially since it appears we're not going to reach our goal, or I don't know. We're still getting donations every day, but I did notice it was like $117 yesterday. That was not a great day compared to the first day.
I was trying to draw one of those thermometer things, you know, you see for charity.
Oh, yeah.
Got all the things marked.
That'll do it.
Up to $7 million.
That'll help us reach our goal. We just need a thermometer.
Bottom on the top. Let's mark it to 7 million.
Come on. 1180 out of 30,000. That we should do better than that. I do think we had so many people email in that they would donate, but when I think about it there's no way it was more than 1,000 people. I mean, I think all the people who said they would have come through, and we get nice donations from the people who have. And some have said, you know, I really can't afford to give much, but I'll send $10, or I'm going to send $5 a month, or they figured out the monthly thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all good, but we really do need more if we're going to make it. We do have some help coming in January, but we really need some more cash to get us through. If we're not if we're not sold out by, say, March, I think we're in trouble.
No, oh, so, okay.
Yeah, no, seriously. Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take it easy. Let's not get emotional.
And I'm confident. I think we're gonna do well, but it's just gonna take time. I think some advertisers will get more, and that's reminds me. We got a few notices from people who wanted to advertise. That talked about advertising, and there were some other ones that we heard from along the way too. If you're still interested in advertising, please drop an email to sales@drewandmikepodcast.com or to Drew at Drew and Mike Podcast or to both.
Okay, Mr. Lane.
It'd be nice to get a CC.
Send all your mean emails to me. I'll take them.
Yeah, at Mark, M-A-R-C, at Drew and Mike Podcast. And send all engineering-related issues to Jay.
To Drew.
You're doing awesome!
At Drew Mike Podcast. Yes, I can take him to Jay personally. All right. Did I give you the phone number, Jay, or did I just throw it in the middle of all my shit?
The t-shirts go... I think that was like the whole point. The
t-shirt. Oh, he mentioned in the beginning. Okay. Yeah, ends at midnight.
Yeah.
So you've probably just missed it by now. But that's okay. We'll see what happens. I think we need to buy a few extra at cost, of course. Always at cost. And maybe take them with us somewhere.
That was right here.
What are you looking for? Oh, the blind guy?
Yeah, sorry about the blind guy.
The guy who got his sight back after 20 years, and then I hope, for his sake, pretended he was still blind for one more week at least.
Right here.
I'm assuming he did.
Do you think someone then busted him like he was trying to keep it quiet and he ended up turning to look at something? Like, hey, that blind guy just turned to look at me.
No, I think he got away with it. I think he was slick. He's going to deny it, too, when we call him. Trust me, he'll deny it.
First place he probably went, right? Titty bar. Right?
Went where?
Titty bar.
Titty bar?
I haven't seen titties for 20 years. I got a lot of titties to catch up on.
Yeah, after he asked all the women in his life to give him a shot.
Yeah.
Well, that movie At First Sight with Val Kilmer. Where
you and Mike
got
in trouble?
Yeah, and Mike was laughing so loudly because he was whispering really loudly to me, like everyone could hear him whispering.
Loudly?
Yeah, he whispers really loudly. That's what used to make Terry Lawson so angry at his premieres. Remember when what did he storm out of?
Autofocus.
It was autofocus, that's right. Terry Lawson, the reviewer, stormed out because we were having too much fun, like 50 rows in front of
them. Some people are trying to do their jobs.
Ooh,
so are we.
We're doing our jobs. Our job is to have fun at the premiere. Jeez.
You know what's funny? I never saw him at another premiere again. I think he just had private screenings after that.
Yeah, action was taken. As a result of our misbehavior.
A talking to was given, too, by the way.
I forgot about that. Who got talked to?
Me.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but they understood. They're like,
yeah, I think they'd heard from Terry Lawson before.
Exactly.
But Mike
at first sight.
At the at first sight thing, Mike was whispering in my ear that... that he should be looking, as he was losing his vision, he should be staring in like permanent imprints of various parts of females' bodies.
Particularly a vagina?
Specifically, yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Kevin?
Kev?
And have a great day.
Nope. Kevin! Hey, Kevin, it's the Drew and Mike Podcast calling from Michigan. We heard about your eyesight, this incredible story. What a miracle, man.
Unbelievable.
We're so excited to talk to you about this. Can you please, please call us back?
It's an amazing, uplifting story.
We have a number of questions regarding your regaining your eyesight. And we'd love to hear from you. Congratulations, by the way. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Later.
Good luck. See ya. Bummer.
Oh, of course he's not going to be home. He's out looking at stuff.
He's just out looking at
stuff. Oh, part of me would expect him to be at home just staring at the TV or a computer.
What would you want to see if you haven't seen anything in 20 years? You've been hearing about it for so long. I mean, obviously,
a cell phone.
The internet.
Yeah.
That guy's going to be so stuck on the internet. Oh, my God. He's going to be living on the internet for weeks.
He's on X-Hamster right now.
Has there been anything built significantly in the last 20 years?
He's in New York, right?
Yeah.
This is going to sound off, but World Trade Center?
Yeah.
What it looks like now, the Freedom Plaza, Freedom Tower. Don't you think you'd want to go see
it? Well, yeah, because the last time he saw it, there were twin towers up there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I don't know what other big...
I think the guy's going nuts on porn on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
He's going crazy.
They do that now? That can go there?
He's been hearing about it. Oh, yeah. He's watching the horse video.
Where'd the hair go?
No one has any pubic hair anymore. Where'd all the pubic hair go?
Did you hear about Russell Crowe? This is a little off the subject.
No.
He's marrying Bindi Irwin's mother.
What?
Yes, the crocodile hunter's
ex, her name?
Or his widow. Yeah, Terry Irwin.
He is
marrying her.
All right,
She's not even hot.
I was just going to say he could do a lot better than her.
I know. And she's Bindi's mom.
I know. Oh, boy. So I would have expected Russell Crowe to marry Bindi before Bindi's mom.
Definitely.
Right?
No, absolutely. Because Bindi's
that can't be true.
Now. I know. It seems impossible, doesn't it?
He has been with supermodels, right?
Yeah. No. And his ex-wife is really pretty. I can't think of her name, but she was a babe.
He's also in The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Oh, that's right. He's the one that warns him.
And she's really good with kangaroos, which we talked about earlier.
Wow, it's all full circle.
Yeah.
Well,
and they both listen to Rated Xmas when exchanging gifts.
Oh, Danielle Spencer, that's right. Yeah, she's I heard you were still pining for her. Now, I've been reading about Russell Crowe being on some major benders and doing some really crazy shit.
Fighting around the world.
Like beating up women and stuff.
Oh, really?
Well, there was some strange story.
Remember the incident with the phone? New York City.
Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago. But, that was true. Was it a concierge?
I think so.
Hit him with the phone?
Yeah, threw the phone at him.
Yeah, because the guy couldn't...
Maybe...
He couldn't find something.
Maybe
Terry, something ridiculous.
Terry Irwin,
or he couldn't get a phone number.
She's the only one that can tame his anger. She's used to dealing with wild
animals. What is she going to tame it with? She's not very hot.
Bindi? Do you think she got Bindi's approval? She had to get because Bindi runs that family now.
Yeah, I think she would need Bindi's approval.
And Bob, you know, Bob's doing whatever. How old's Bob now?
Bindi just smells the cash, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Bob?
That's all Bindi cares about. Bindi was out there running the show the day after he died.
I know. She was doing that
exercise. Hey, no problem. I'm in charge here.
Yeah.
Like I should have been anyway.
Six.
Remember
those like workout videos she had, and there'd be adults in the background working out.
Right, she's leading the group, and the group are all like these 30-something adults who are following this 9-year-old brat. Steve Irwin net worth? He still gets a net worth on here?
Yep.
$10 million. Why don't you look at Bindi? Okay, Terry Irwin's net worth is $5 million.
Crikey.
And Bindi is worth $3 million.
I'm surprised. You know, are you like torn because Bindi's got a huge rack?
Bindi's gotten kind of cute.
She's Oh, really?
Well, kind of. But we still know what she's all about.
The money?
You're fooling me. Yeah, she's all about the cash. Yeah, look at that picture. Jeez.
She's all fool.
She's still, her face is still, yeah.
How old is she?
She's like 19, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Hey, I was reading about, is she 18?
Wow. Well, she's been in the public eye now for 17 years.
Yeah, no, forever. Hey, I was reading about the Guantanamo parole board releasing this Yemeni guy.
Okay.
Who previously talked about no matter how long they kept him there, he would participate in terrorist operations if he ever had the chance.
Oh, so, yeah.
And they released him.
Did his plane crash on the way back to Yemen? Did his boat sink? How'd he get back to Yemen?
Let's see.
Or did they just let him walk out and live in Cuba for the rest of his life.
Let's see what they did with him.
Who is he? What's his name?
His name is Shawky Awad Balzuhair.
Balzuhair?
Balzuhair. Balzuhair. Middle name Awad, Awad, as in A-Wad.
Awad of Zuhair?
And Shawky, Shawqi. But this guy, you know, I was wondering, though, they were saying there's only 59 people left at Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had like a couple hundred people there at one time.
Mm-hmm.
What are all these paroled Guantanamo people doing? I know originally when they first let out maybe the first 20 or so.
Yeah.
Of course, right away, there were like six that were right back into, you know, terrorist operations. They knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think they even predicted it. But I mean, I never have heard of anyone doing anything.
Well, they didn't
really
try many people either.
No.
It clearly had a more negative effect on the war on terror than a positive effect.
I don't think they ever knew what the fuck they were doing with these people.
Oh, I know. That's why it was a huge negative effect. So then they come over and they get treated like shit. They get released by there and they're more radicalized because they got treated like crap over here.
Yeah, everything they were paranoid about came true.
Yeah. And a lot, you know,
they were captured.
Well, but a lot of them were handed over by Al-Qaeda and the Taliban themselves, which, you know, without any evidence.
No, the whole thing was a bit messy. A
total disaster.
Yeah, no.
But the problem is you have people like Balzuhair out there and, you know, who's talking about committing terrorist acts the second he gets out.
Yep.
I just never expected guys like that to ever get out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, on what basis do you hold them forever? I don't know. It's a real, for a country that's run on ideals like the U.S., this is a real sticky one. But anyway, even after all this guy's bluster, he gets let out. And supposedly, he's looking to find a wife. That's his first priority, finding a wife.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be treated lovely, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure he's very open-minded in terms of treating women and equality, stuff like that.
Hey, did you see the Prince of Saudi Arabia said, you know what, it might be time for women to start driving some cars.
Yeah, we were kicking that around, and it seems so utterly progressive.
It seems so obvious.
But, you know, when they were talking about that before, because this came up about maybe a year ago, and there were all those funny rules like, if your husband is not available to give you permission, you can ask your firstborn son.
It's like asking Bindi to get married.
Yes, exactly.
The people that run the household.
Can you imagine asking your firstborn daughter, Charlotte, if it was okay for you to drive?
She would never let me drive.
No, you would be grounded.
You stay home. No, she never would.
I like daddy at home.
Yeah. Daddy stays home.
But there were a lot of other rules, too. I mean, they were just ridiculous. Oh, yeah, including,
not
of course.
Not a terribly progressive country.
No. Including, of course, being covered from head to toe. I mean, not a single arm hair can be seen.
Mm.
Or head hair.
Or pubic.
Or any.
What if
pubic
were
hair would be death.
They were only allowed to show pubic hair. There's just a hole right in the middle.
You'd see some big bushes, let me tell you.
Ooh.
Hey, did you see the story about Brando and Last Tango in Paris?
Yeah,
what a bizarre
dick.
Story.
Sounds like a total dick, him and that director.
I'm trying to figure out whether I should believe that or not.
The butter. Why wouldn't you believe it? I mean, it's the director telling the story.
Well, I guess there's not much to gain.
The director of Last Tango in Paris. I mean, I can't remember the actress's
Maria
name.
Schneider.
She's been dead for five years.
She,
right?
She died at 58 a few years ago.
So people that don't know the story, he was recollecting how the infamous butter rape scene went down. And he's like, Brendo and I were having breakfast, and he put some butter on a baguette, and we just looked at each other and knew for him to use that as a lubricant for that scene. But he never told the actress because he wanted her real frightened reaction.
He wanted to respond like it was a real rape.
What an asshole.
Yeah, that was a bit presumptuous, I would say.
It's criminal.
Yeah. I mean, just because it's a movie.
I was reading.
There's no, you don't shield people from the laws of the country because it's a movie.
I was reading a little bit about this and kind of going deeper. And next thing you know, I'm like 8 pages deep on Wikipedia reading about stuff. I didn't realize that Brando refused to ever memorize lines. Did you know that?
No.
He refused to learn lines to a movie, so they had to put cue cards all over the set.
Well, yeah, at the end, he was totally cue cards. And, you know, he was virtually looking at the wrong thing in every scene because he was so busy looking at cue cards.
You got it, yep. And Last Tango in Paris was one of those where they had trouble moving the camera around the set because Brando had all his cue cards pinned up. What an asshole. Was he that great of an actor? No, not in my opinion.
No, I don't think so. Tell me what I'm supposed to see because I haven't seen it
yet. Godfather, I guess, but he's really just sitting there. You know,
he didn't even have that many lines. He didn't even say that much in Godfather.
No,
I thought he was good. I mean, I'm not going to say he wasn't good in Godfather, but he didn't say that much.
Was he that good in Streetcar? I don't know. I never saw it.
I don't know. It's so old. Who cares?
No one knows. He's a total creep in Last Tango.
I thought that was a kind of a cool movie, though, I will admit. I was interested in it.
It
wasn't like my favorite movie, but I watched it and I was intrigued by it. It was certainly very different than anything at that time.
You really buy that chick would have an affair with that American widower?
What was Brando? I mean, he wasn't totally fat
yet. She was beautiful.
She was beautiful. She had a gigantic bush, though.
Yeah. But that's the for those that haven't seen it, that's the ironic twist, though. Okay, they weren't supposed to know about each other at all, right? It was purely sexual.
Yeah.
And then Brando breaks it off and then gets back together and tells all about his background and his wife dying. She's like, all right, see ya. thinking that, you know, she would fall in love with him because of all, everything he'd been through would explain his actions. And she's like, I kind of like the anonymity. See ya. And then something else happens at the end, which if you want to see the movie, I won't tell you what happens.
She did have an amazing rack and an equally amazing bush.
The island of Dr. Moreau.
Dr. Moreau, yeah.
That's a big one for me.
That is ridiculous.
I didn't even see that. That was really later terrible. In his career, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who else was in that movie? Was that Matthew Broderick?
Val Kilmer.
Oh, Val Kilmer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right.
And then a bunch of people in animal suits.
Who's the little guy?
I don't know. Mini-me before mini-me.
I don't know. Was he really that great of an actor? Everyone pretends he was.
Yeah, I think it's just all fake. Just people like saying it at one time.
Just because he acted before other people acted.
I mean, if you watch the movie,
I meant to say his kid's been defending him. Didn't his kid murder somebody?
Yes,
his different kid.
His sister's boyfriend was murdered by her brother.
Okay,
because he believed that he was beating her up.
Oh,
so he decided to murder him.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think he served 5 years for it.
Hmm.
But yeah, as if he knows anything about this subject. Is that the scene right there? Let's take a little
game. The butter scene?
Is that Mr. Skin?
I'll tell you about family secrets.
Why do you talk that way?
Yeah, what does he talk that way?
Mr. Fat.
I'm going to tell you about the family.
I also read that the director had a shot of Brando's junk. Decided not to use it for the show, for the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's a pin. He thought it was too. He thought I'm not joking. He thought it was too invasive, and yet he lets this happen.
Repeat it. Say it. Holy family. Go on, say it. Go on. Holy family. Church of good citizens.
Church.
Yeah. A good citizen. Say it. Say it.
I don't think she
the
likes this part.
Children.
Not only that, what are they? What totally the fuck are they it. Saying? Can you understand one word? How can a great actor talk like that? You can't understand a goddamn word he says.
Zutalor!
Why does he always talk like this?
Wow, look at those tubes. Oh my God.
On him or her?
Her.
I can't see the screen.
This is like he's just starting to get fat here, but he got really fat really fast. I mean, who would have thunk that this matinee idol would weigh like 400 pounds? I mean, he was a monster. They were locking their refrigerator. Oh, well. My.
He's got some big boobs.
Who had the last crib sickle?
Or no, fudge sickle. Was that him? That was Brando, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was Orson Welles.
Oh, Orson Welles.
Yeah, the French.
Yeah, Sybil Shepherd lived with Orson Welles when he was huge.
Well, there's another. Well, he was always kind of big, but not fat.
And he would eat like the 24 fudgesicle pack.
Yeah.
And then he'd go, "Who ate all the fudgesicles? What's going on? My God, there was a whole pack of them in there."
Except saying bitching about something is so trite as fudgesicles coming out of Orson Welles.
I know the great Orson Welles,
great voice, great actor and director.
The great Orson Welles could not get a fudgesicle.
There's a farm in
the He ate them all.
July. I found Marlon Brando's greatest moment, if I could find it here. Can you pop me up, Jay?
Very forthright. Sincere,
remember he's on Larry King? And being all weird?
And, oh, yeah.
All right, thank
they
you
made out, didn't they?
And now the subject is you. Why?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, but in this show.
Because the audience really would like to know.
Brando's got no shoes on and his feet up. Look at this truth.
Well, one night, we'll have Marlon Brando live. You'll host it. I'll guest.
That's this night.
No, this night, you're the guest.
Somebody laughed over there.
Why did you choose acting as a career? Why did you choose to be other people?
I think it's useful to make an observation about that.
Did they make out at the very end of this? Where was that?
Everybody I think it was at the end. Room is an actor. You're an actor. And the best performances that I've ever seen is when the director says, cut. And the director says, that was great. That was wonderful. That was
talking about.
He said, there was a few, we had a little lighting problem. Let's do it again. What he's thinking is, Jesus Christ, that's so fucking, excuse me. It wasn't done well, so we've got to do it over. But everybody tries to handle. When you say, how do you do? How are you? You look fine. You're doing two things at once. You're reading the person's real intention.
It's so weird that he has his bare feet like propped up.
And making an assessment and trying to
so the director
ignore the mythology.
So when the director says cut, like, but I didn't like the lighting.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going to the audience and saying, good
morning. He got bigger. He did have a Chris Christie body for a long time. Then he got huge.
And it's a natural. What?
They were padlocking the refrigerator for him.
Yeah.
To keep him out. He was out of hand.
Now instead, there's this.
What?
Where's it? Here we go.
Turn camera.
Marked.
102, take one. With overlap, action, please.
Come on, Orson. Orson.
Oh. Oh, the French.
Is this it?
He doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do
no, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, really?
102, take two.
No, he's had,
two,
take he's two. Had the first line for 50 takes, and he thinks the other guy's...
Ah, the French champagne.
Orson Welles, bombed!
Celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by
Paul. Listen how fucked up he is.
He looks
inspired.
I've never seen this video.
You've never seen this? Oh, French excellence.
Nobody's yelled
it's
cut yet.
In the bottle and like the best
This
French
is the best
champagne.
Take yet.
It's vintage, dated... So, Parmesan.
Parmesan.
102, take three.
He's stretching his face.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Parmesan. Inspired
He's tapping
by
the bottle.
That same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So, Parmesan, super.
Ah, the French. I love that second one because he's like scratching his face, just hammered.
That poor guy who's holding the bottle.
Oh, man. Orson, I love the old outtakes, too.
Oh, yeah, those when he's doing the audio, when he's doing the voiceovers and he gets pissed.
Jay, here we go.
Yeah, show me a sentence where it starts with, in July and I'll blow you.
I'll go down on you. Go through everything and then come back.
No, tell me. I usually prefer to, but tell me what's wrong. Nothing is more important than the simple act of people getting together.
Who ate the last fudge sickle?
Could I have one more glass of motion, please? Sorry.
What?
Uh-oh. What?
Why? I just did it right. Yeah. Look, I'm not used to having more than one person in there. One more word out of you and you go. I take directions from one person under...
The protest! Protest.
But from two, I don't sit still. But who the hell are you, anyway? Why the hell are you asking me for another one?
Well, I thought there was a slight bunk, and I would like just like...
What's a gunk?
Jesus. What is a gunk? You mind telling me what that is?
A bang from outside.
A bang from outside.
What a jerk. He's purposely taking his time now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Could I see Mrs. Rogers?
Uh-oh. Mrs. Rogers.
That's Fred's wife, by the way.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. Do you really mean that?
So in other words, I'd start half a second late.
Don't you think you really want to say July over the snow? Isn't that the fun of it?
If you can make it almost when that shot disappears, it'll make my...
I think it's so nice that you see a snow-covered field and say every July peas grow there.
He's trying to be the goddamn director, too.
In Lincolnshire, where Mrs. Buckley lives, every July peas grow there. We aren't even in the fields, you see.
Just read the line.
We're talking about the video.
Directed.
The video's not cut off with his audio.
I don't understand you, then. What must be over for July?
When we get out of that snowy field.
When I was out, we were onto a can of peas, a big dish of peas when I said in July.
I'm sorry.
Yes, always.
Yes.
I'm always past that.
Why does he give a fuck? He's getting paid for a voiceover. What does he give a fuck what the video shows?
You emphasize a bit in July.
Uh-oh.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. There's no known way of saying an English sentence in which you begin a sentence with in and emphasize it. Get me a jury and show me how you can say in July and I'll go down on you.
What?
It's just idiotic, if you'll forgive me by saying so. It's just stupid. In July. I'd love to know how you emphasize in and in July. Impossible. Meaningless.
I think all they were thinking about was that they didn't want to.
He isn't thinking.
Listen, can we just do one last
one?
And it was my fault. I said in July. If you can leave every July.
You didn't say it. He said it.
Mrs. Rogers again.
Every July? No, you don't really mean every July.
Just read the script.
That's a bad copy. It's in July. Of course it's every July. There's too much directing around here. Norway. Fish fingers, Findus, Norway. We know a certain fjord in Norway. Near
though.
Where the cod gather in great shoals. There, Jan Stangeland.
You're done.
On that shoals thing, because you roll it around very nicely.
Yeah, roll it around, and I have no more time. You don't know what I'm up against.
Yeah, because you've been bitching about matching up with the video.
Things that are only correct because they're grammatical, but they're tough on the ear. You see, this is a very wearying one. It's unpleasant
very
to read.
Wearying.
Unrewarding.
Paid ass.
Freeze the card at sea, and then add.
How rewarding should a voiceover be?
Crumb crisp coating.
Tough on here.
That's tough. Crumb crisp coating. I think no, because of the way it's written, you need to break it up because it's not as conversationally
tough on
written.
Ear.
What?
Take crumb out.
Good.
Crisp coating.
Here under protest is beef burger. We know a little place in the American far west. Where Charlie Briggs chops up the finest prairie-fed beef and tastes... This is a lot of shit, you know that. You want one more? Yeah. More on what beef?
You missed the first beef, actually. Uh-oh.
What do you mean missed it?
Uh-oh.
You're emphasizing prairie-fed.
But you can't emphasize beef. That's like he's wanting me to emphasize in before July.
Come on, guys.
Fellas, you're losing your heads. I wouldn't direct any living actor like this in Shakespeare.
Because it's not Shakespeare!
It's a voiceover!
Last year, and by far and away the best, and I know the reason.
The right reading for this is the one I'm giving it. It's been 20 times more
you
for you.
Pompous, fat
than any
fuck.
Other commercial I've ever made.
Go eat some fudgesicles.
Now, what is it you want in your depths of your ignorance? What is it you want? Whatever it is you want, I can't deliver because I just don't see it.
That was absolutely fine. It really was.
You can't worth it. No money is worth it.
He's still bitching as he walks away.
The guy gives him a compliment and he can't stand it.
Oh, that's grabbing her in those H's.
Pipes, though.
Yeah.
Just
get really fat, Brandon.
You know, something.
He was such a huge star. Remember Citizen Kane and War of the Worlds in the late 1930s? And he was around in the 70s, and he hadn't had a hit since.
Yeah.
But he still had that big name from those
Citizen
huge
Kane
hits.
Is awesome.
No, they...
It's
they
awesome movie.
They're considered to be two of the greatest
just a good movie.
Classics of all time. But he did nothing after that. And, oh, my God, did people spend money with...
Spoiler alert, Rosebud's a sled.
Huh? What?
Citizen Kane spoiler alert.
Oh, okay. Alrighty.
Remember, that's the big question, was what is Rosebud?
Yes.
Stupid slap from as a kid.
It's been a while. Alright, we're wrapping up. We'll remember, well, people are going to hear this after midnight, so is there any point in mentioning that you can only wear t-shirts till midnight? It's not likely. But, hey, if you hear this before midnight and you want to order one, go ahead. And if not, I'm sure there'll be more merch. Down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Orson Welles' celebrity net worth, $20
million? Really? $20
million,
really?
He's doing those fucking...
Did he ever have kids, Orson?
I don't know.
Was he ever married?
Yeah, I think he was married a bunch of times.
Why was...
Chicks dug him.
Well, yeah, I forget her name.
He was a fat...
Shepherd.
He was huge, though, at the end of his life.
Why was Cybill Shepherd living with him?
I don't know. Because I don't think he had money.
Oh, wow.
So he's living with her and Peter Bogdanovich.
He was married to Rita Hayworth.
four marriages. Yeah, I think kids. Four kids. See how many marriages?
You ever heard of Beatrice Wells, the actress? That's his daughter.
Negative.
Former model. Okay.
Only three marriages? I bet you they were all hot.
He has long-term, it says he has long-term partners, too.
Ah, yes. Okay, so we'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Maz will be on tomorrow.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Partial score day.
And Thursday, of course, at the Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Kigo for Killer Cares. And so with that, have a good one, everybody. See you.
See ya.